Good morning, boys and girls. Mark chapter 10 and the verses 13 to 16. Mark chapter 10, the verses 13 to 16. Let's read them just to remind ourselves of what it is here. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when the Savior saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer, little children. And I told you before, the word suffer there means permit, allow. Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. May the Lord bless us as we return to this study. Now this will be our third study on these words, and it's our final study. So far we have considered, first of all, that the youngest child can be brought to Christ. It's commonly thought, wrongly, by parents, some parents anyway, all too many parents, that a youngster, they're not interested in church, in the Bible, in the Word of God, in preaching. They're too young to understand, so just either not bother bringing them, or when you do bring them, put a toy in their hand, or a wee colouring book in their hand, and let them get on with that, rather than listen. That's wrong. And this teaches us that it's wrong. They brought young children to him. And the word young there embraces wide enough in its meaning to take in the very youngest wee un that's here, to the oldest wee un that's here. And the Lord didn't say to them, now go away home, give your baby a rattle or a bun, don't bother me with them, they're too young. No, he didn't say that at all. It says he took them up in his arms and he blessed them and rebuked the disciples who tried to stop them coming unto the Savior. So we thought about that. Then our second study was God's people, disciples, can be very foolish about the matter of children coming to Christ. These disciples took upon themselves without saying to the Lord, would you like us to chase them? No, without ever asking the Lord, they took upon themselves to stop the people bringing their youngsters. And were most cheeky, I think. They were anything but polite. It says they rebuked, spoke pretty strongly to them. And that shows how silly Christians can be regarding a lot of things. But here, they're being silly and wrong and sinful concerning the matter of bringing children to Christ. It's always been a problem. People have ever made a mistake about this matter. And the Savior rebuked them. He rebuked them. Told them off. And he did it publicly. He didn't sneak over to his disciples, Peter, James, John, and all the others, and whisper in their ears and say, look, you're doing wrong. No, publicly. They had sinned publicly. So the Lord rebuked them publicly. Others heard the Savior telling them off. The Lord does that at times. Very publicly he rebuked his people when they publicly do wrong. Well, today we're coming to our final study, and it's this. The smallest child, are you listening? The smallest child can teach us how to get saved. The smallest child can become a teacher. A teacher of the most important subject in all the world, how to get saved. Nothing more important than that, boys and girls. That's the important matter. How do I get saved? You remember the jailer in Philippi, when the prison was shaken by God by an earthquake. It was a wonderful earthquake. Didn't toss the buildings as all other earthquakes do. It just opened the doors of the prison. And the chains fell off the prisoners. That's a most remarkable earthquake. Never been seen before. Never been seen since. But when the jailer was awakened out of his sleep by the earthquake and saw all the doors open, he thought, everybody's escaped. And under Roman practice back then, if anybody escaped from the jail, well, the jailer was the one that would be blamed. And that usually meant he would have been put to death. So that's why when the jailer saw the doors all open, thought everybody escaped, he took out his sword to stab himself. When Paul, seeing this from his cell, shouted out, "Do yourself no harm! We're all here!" And the man, on the very verge of killing himself, had only one thought. What must I do to be saved? He didn't say to himself, "How can I repair the jail? Get the doors locked? Wonder what I'm going to have for dinner." That wasn't what was in his mind. He was very close to death. And being close to death, there was only one matter that mattered. What must I do to be saved? This is the most important subject in all the world, boys and girls. And the Savior tells us here that little children can teach us about this subject. They can teach us about this subject. He says, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Verse 14. Then he says, "Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed. I want you to notice, first of all, the very important word that the Savior uses as he makes this statement. Do you see what the word is? Look at your verse. The verse 15. Verily. Do you know what that means? Verily. It's not a word that's commonly used today, but we find it oftentimes in the Bible. Now, we use a word that's related to it. Verily. Surely, yes. There is a word in our language that's close to it. Verite. Verite. Sometimes it's given to a girl for the name. And it means truth. Truth. So the Savior is here saying, "Truly, I say unto you." What I'm about to say might sound strange to you, but what I'm saying is true. Absolutely true. The first time the Savior used this word, verily, is recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew, in the chapter 5. And there he says this, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." The Savior says, basically, the heavens and the earth will disappear before any part of God's word shall fail. That book you're holding before you today will never pass away. It'll never go out of date. It'll never reach a stage where you can say it's no longer of any use, I'm putting it away. No. The environmentalists of today are in sad ignorance concerning God's purpose for the earth. The earth will never pass away. Never. Poor Mr. Attenborough, he's in a real sweat, possibly because of climate change, but because of the consequences of climate change, as he thinks, it's going to destroy the whole earth. It's going to end. No. God made the earth and he says it'll last forever. Oh, he's going to bring in some changes. Purify the earth. But the globe will last forever. Just like God's word. It will never, never, never pass away. And the Savior emphasizes that not one jot or tittle. Now, a jot or a tittle comes from the Hebrew language. And basically, it refers to little marks that anybody writing in Hebrew would make. The smallest little mark. The same as we in the English language would put a dot on an I or a stroke on a T. That's the equivalent of the jot or a tittle. The Lord says, in other words, not as much of a dot will fail. Oh, boys and girls, you remember that. You remember that. That the Bible will not pass away, and what it says will not pass away. What it says about heaven and what it says about hell will not pass away. And the Savior, in order to emphasize this truth, as he taught it back in Matthew chapter 5, started off by saying, verily, truly, what I'm about to tell you is the truth. And that's what he uses here in our text. He's about to say something of great importance, so he underlines it, as it were, by saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm about to speak to you of a great truth. Oh, how people need to recognize that. When the Lord says, verily, you pick up your ears. You should have them picked up all the time, of course, when the Lord's speaking, but particularly pick them up and listen when he says, verily, for he's about to say something very important. Then again, it was not what the youngsters here in our account said that was important. You don't read of any of them speaking. Look at it. Not a word of what they said. I'm sure that some of them did say something. There have been some of them old enough to remember their manners and speak mannerly to the Lord. They might have said, hello, Master. Might well have said that. I don't know. We're not told. Because what they said, if they said anything, was not important. It was what they did that was important. And boys and girls, there's a lesson there that comes to mind. It's not what you say in life that necessarily speaks the truth about you. Plenty of people go around and say, oh, I'm a Christian. Sounds wonderful. But it's what they do that God looks at. It's what they do. It's the fruit that comes into their lives as a result of how they live that counts with God. It's their works. And that's emphasized here because there's no words spoken by any of the youngsters brought to the Savior, recorded, but we are told that what they did was important. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. What did they do? What was it they did? That's important for us to notice. You don't read, and he reached out to them, and they run away. They backed away from the Savior. You don't read that. It says he took them up in his arms. In other words, they submitted to him. They surrendered to him. They allowed him to take hold upon them and lift them up into his arms and bless them. Have you done that? Now, I like meeting wee babbies and youngsters. I do. I like talking to them. But I know this much. You can't rush in, especially to a wee babby lying in a pram. and stick your face right down and say, hello, the result will be howls. Well, you frighten the life out of the young one. That's the natural reaction of a young one. Back away. I don't know you. Who are you? What do you want? Are you about to hurt me? That's the natural reaction. Boys and girls, when he speaks to us from this book, when his spirit takes a dealing with our heart and indicates that we should come to him and surrender, we back away. I remember well when, I wasn't a youngster, I was 20, and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I backed away. I did not want to come to Christ. I did not want him to take control of my life, take me up in his arms. I didn't want that. And I backed up. And listen, that's what we are inclined to do. We stop listening when the Savior starts to speak to us. We don't want to do what he wants to do with us. And these youngsters teach us what it is we should do. He took them up in his arms. Every one of them allowed the Savior to do what he wanted. They surrendered to him. They submitted to him. When he reached out his arms, they knew what he wanted, and they obeyed. I can see them as the Savior reached out his arms. They would have lifted their arms to allow him to take a grip of them under their arms. That's what you do sometimes. Some of you here, when Granda approaches, put out your arms because you know he's going to lift you. And that's what we're taught here. When the Lord speaks to you about salvation, obey him, surrender, yield to him. Let him take you up in his arms. Let's just close on this. What is the Lord going to do with them? Is he going to turn them over and give them a whack or two? He took them up in his arms. That is, he drew them closer to himself. Right close to his face. That's what happens when you get seen. You see his face revealed in Scripture. And he blessed them. And do you know where those youngsters are that we read about here? Now, they started for heaven the moment they submitted to the Savior. When he took them up in his arms, they started for heaven. And he carried them all the way to glory. And they're there now. And if you follow their example and do what they did, then you too will go to heaven. That's the lesson that these youngsters teach us. That's what the Lord would have us learn from them. He says, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of heaven as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Now look, boys and girls, and I'm going to speak particularly to you older ones as we come to a close. I want you to realize that unless you surrender to Christ and act like these youngsters, you will not be in heaven. I don't want you to fool yourself. I don't want you to think that you don't need to obey the gospel. You don't need to come to Christ, but you'll still get to heaven. That's a common view today, but it's wrong. And it's wrong because the Lord Jesus says it's wrong. He says you'll not get to heaven unless you do what these youngsters did. Surrender to him. Let him take them up in his arms. Let him take you up in his arms. Oh, I trust God will bless his word to your heart today. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, speak a word of power and of salvation to the boys and girls today. Grant grace, Lord, to everyone. Be with the school today. Remember the little sick one today. May your hand be upon her. Answer prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.